of that wench, I mean. For you must know that I have spent the best part of my fortune in search of a maid, and could never find one hitherto. So before I list, I must be certified that this girl is a virgin.
Mr. Wilful, I can't tell how you can be certified in that point till you try. But, upon my honour, she may be a vestal for aught that I know to the contrary. I have already gained my ends, which were only the drawing in one or two of her followers. Women, you know, are the lodestones everywhere. Kiss the prettiest country wenches, and you're sure of listing the lustiest fellows. Besides, the fatigue of recruiting is so intolerable that unless we could make ourselves some pleasure amidst the pain, no mortal man would be able to bear it.
Well, sir, I'm satisfied. But now, let me beg you to lay aside your recruiting airs and tell me plainly what usage I must expect when I'm under your command.
I find something so agreeable about you, I should be uneasy to see you under the command of anybody else. Your usage will chiefly depend upon your behaviour. Only this you must expect. If you commit a small fault, I will excuse it. If a great one, I'll discharge you. For something tells me I shall not be able to punish you.
And something tells me that if you do discharge me, it will be the greatest punishment you can inflict. And now your hand. This lifts me, and now you are my captain.
Your friend. Steph, there's something in this fellow that charms me.
One favour I must beg. This affair will make some noise, and I have some friends that would censure my conduct if I threw myself into the circumstance of a private sentinel of my own head. I must therefore take care to be impressed by the Act of Parliament. You shall leave that to me.
What you please as to that. Will you lodge at my quarters in the meantime? You shall have part of my bed.
Oh, fie! Lie with a common soldier? Would not you rather lie with a common woman?
Faith, I'm not that rake that the world imagines. I have got an air of freedom, which people mistake for lewdness in me, as they mistake formality in others for religion. The world is all a cheat. Only I take mine, which is undesigned, to be more excusable than theirs, which is hypocritical. I hurt nobody but myself, and they abuse all mankind. Will you lie with me?
No. No, Captain. You forget Rose. She used to be my bedfellow, you know.
I had forgot. Pray, be kind to her.
Scene 9, in which Melinda makes an embarrassing confession.
Oh, Lucy, I can hold my secret no longer. You must know that hearing of the famous fortune-teller in town...
Dr. Conundrum.
The very same. Hearing of his presence, I went disguised to satisfy a curiosity which has cost me dear. That conundrum is certainly the devil. He has told me the most surprising things of my past life.
Things past, madam, can hardly be reckoned surprising, because we know them already. Did he tell you anything surprising that was to come?
He said I should die a maid.
Die a maid? Oh. Come into the world for nothing?
Oh.
But did you ask him any questions about me?
You? Why, I passed for you.
So did I get him to die a maid. Devil was a liar. He can't make me die a maid. I've put it out of his power already.
I do but jest. I would have passed for you and called myself Lucy, but he presently told me my name, my quality, my fortune, and gave me the whole history of my life. He told me of a lover I had in this country and described Worthy exactly, but in nothing so well as in his present indifference. I fled to him for refuge here today. He coldly told me that he was sorry for the accident, made a careless bow, and walked off. Steph, I could have stabbed him. Or myself. Yonder he comes.
Don't exasperate him. Consider what the fortune-teller told you. Men are scarce, and as times go, it is not impossible for a woman to die a maid.
No matter.
I find she's warmed. I must strike while the iron is hot.
You have a great deal of courage, madam, to venture into the walks where you were so late frighted.
And you have a quantity of impudence to appear before...